brani?
If you've got any questions, I think we can take a set of question and answers. Better teeth, and he wouldn't suffer from the muscle teeth. 7. If you, the chlorine will change and go out of the water once it is frozen. So freeze it and reuse it, and then you aerate it. That means you pass through the air. If you take the water and freeze it, it will cause the chlorine to go out of the water. Chlorine doesn't freeze. It goes out by evaporation. It becomes a gas. Then you take the water and then you cool it down and then you aerate it. Now if you add vitamin C or ascorbic acid, then you reactivate the water. Now on a survival basis, if we have to survive, there are four basic foods that will be compulsory for survival. That's vitamin C, water, flour, and powder. With these four basics, you can survive for an extremely long time. Next to that, it becomes compulsory for you to have oil. Some kind of solid oil. Well, since there is a large amount of pork fat available, they consider lard as an easy way to maintain the cooking or crisp or something. But these are the survival foods under the extreme cases that an individual can make any type of substance to eat with it. You can make the milk, you can blend it into the food, into the flour. You can use the vitamin C to withstand the stresses. And water. And you would have it A, B, C, and D. Even in the oil. Now, if you really want to spin it down on a health food basis, take corn. Corn is the only type of grain that radiation doesn't affect. It has a higher radiation resistance. So, corn meal comes first. Then your water. Then your vitamin C. Now if you want to retain the vitamin C with the riboflavin, then you take a whole orange or lemon and grind it all right through with the skin and everything and keep it in a container. So it will be in a concentrated gel. And as you add water and beat it up, then you have the riboflavin out. That's for the bitter condition that you taste inside a vitamin C tablet. That's why a vitamin C tablet is so bitter. It's actually the rind. Between the rind and the pulp of the citrus fruit, there's a white skin where there are fine oils trapped in that fibronacin. And your riboflavonoids are found in there. And then your ascorbic acid is also closely aligned there. So you want vitamin C with your riboflavonoid to really hold back the condition of mucus being a source of disease spreading in the body. Now, white flour will be a source of disease spreading because it's the basis of where mucus is building up, the lovely body. Whereas whole grain flour would not be lovely, but corn will not be so lovely good. Or nor barley will not be lovely good. Nor soya will not be lovely good. But white flour bleached would be lovely good. Now the oils the longest without any deterioration would be olive oil. Not only can you take it in orally, but you can absorb it right through the blood from the skin cell outside and pass right through the bloodstream and nourish it.
How long can you keep olive oil once it's been
open? Olive oil, once it's open, I'd say you can keep it with instead of having lactic acid in it. The lactic acid from dehydrated milk powder would normally generate more lactic acid in your system. A human being when under stress or any type of tension generates lactic acid. If you drive across this country just for 24 hours, your bloodstream, the lactic acid has already nearly gone up 50%. The glycogen in your cells are burnt up and the body is in stress. Now, the cells get hot and dry and irritable because of the secretion of the lactic acid. You see, the body has to secrete lactic acid inside of itself and it will over secrete that. We have lactic acid in the mother's milk, but she secretes that in a normal level for the benefit of the baby. When a male body or a female body is stressed now, it over secretes, and then the glycogen is burnt up and the tiredness is built up. Now if you drink milk on top of that, this is the folly of traveling and drinking milk when you're tired. You find you get clogged up, you feel mucus building up more in your system. You wonder why you have a cold after you travel and you didn't do anything but drink milk. You ever have that experience? Going on a long journey and then during your travel you just drink milk and then at the end of the journey, before you know it, starts to tickle. This is because it's building up too much lactic acid in the system and you can't use it up. There's no way for you to disappear. Now, in the soya milk, from the soya powder, there is no lactic acid in the soya bean. In the soya bean is actually native vegetable cow. It has everything except lactic acid in it that a cow's body milk would produce. It has the protein, it has the calcium, different type of minerals, lecithin, the vitamins in it. And if you add K-Rob, soya, then you have a natural vitamin B, B2 and B12 in the blend with the K-Rob. Now also you have the dextrose. Now if you partially toast the soybean flour or powder with the K-Rob into it, this dextranizes it, then you have automatically produced a sweetening agent. And you don't need to add no sweetening agent no more, because the natural dextrose in the K-Rob would be heightened by the partial heat. All you need to add now is the water with the vitamin C in it and shake it up and use it immediately. You have now a real drink that the body can handle.
How much do you have to add to your water to keep it?
Well, 100 milligrams per gallon is all right. One tablet per gallon. The mixture would keep indefinitely in refrigeration. Outside it would be for several months. ingredients like rice will keep indefinitely for a long time because this don't break down as easy. Huh?
Do we have anything to worry about really concerning rice? For the reason you mentioned that we need to make provisions for such as this and
Muktananda, Anand Swami, and most of the Swamis, the master, they all say, we got up to 1986 is the last, from then on you're in prison. You're in for a tremendous change in world political struggles. No, friend. AIDS has nothing to do with it. It's strictly man's greed and humanity does not a man for the power struggle. Based upon trade. Politicians don't make war. Merchants make war using politicians for their own gain. Every country that sells on the trading market. There's no politician made a war. Deep down behind it all, it was a tradesman that made it. A guy who sold a piece of merchandise and wanted a high price from the other guy. Therefore control the stability of the market currently. Therefore forced his nation to get into a war. The last war between Japan and this country was not caused by politicians. It was caused by trade. But we hide behind a false illusion that politics is the cause of war. We don't create war by politics. Politics is a scapegoat for war. For centuries, men have played upon the weakness of others for their lack of food. The Egyptians used the Hebrew people to their advantage to put them into slavery because they were starving. And we continue to do that right up to this present age of using mankind by manipulating their belly strings. So politicians don't make war, they are the scapegoat and end up having to do it. And using other people to fight their battles. But the real culprit behind it all is the merchant. He's the most unscrupulous individual.
So we can look forward to constant inflation.
Right. The merchant is constantly moving all the prices up to the point where government has to step in to set up price controls. Now, if there is a war, what's the first thing that changes in the environment?
The amount of the buying power of the money.
All right. But has that got anything to do with politicians?
Politics is going to have to be very much more closely scrutinized during times like that.
The politician is bought off by the big power industries. So it's trade. There is no war based on any politics. Politics is a jurisprudence or a legal system set up to enforce ethics in the form of a religious ideal. You can't eat religious ideals, and the merchant knows that. So they are the ones who organize and control the sale and buying power of merchandise for man's existence. This has always been throughout time. He who controls the purse string controls the belly string.
How do the North Vietnamese
in war. Let's go back to your all your little war
is justifiable in their way by the merchant who trades.
Even the initial companies are not allowed to trade
the munitions company right now are in constant espionage with each other. They have a higher network, a far more efficient network of infiltration and counter espionage than your governments do have. The trade systems of each country have a higher and far more efficient spy system.
Well, the times be bad now, we will not be able to grow our own thing.
Will we not be able to look?
Will we not be able to produce our own food upon land?
We will produce food, but it's very easy to destroy it all by touching a torch tree. That is what they'll just do. They've already proven themselves to know how to destroy production. So they're not worried about production, destroying production.
Well, what factions are going to be behind this? If they're riots, there's going to be a bunch of maniacs, maniacal people running around doing.
Well, you tell me something like in 1949, somebody says, these things don't happen in America. I was living at that time in Canada. They don't have riots, they don't have, what they call it. They don't shoot people. Political people, let alone they don't try to assassinate individuals in the around the White House. It can't happen in America. It only happens in the foreign countries. You know, we are kind of ridiculous individuals who believe that these things cannot happen here. A conspiracy or any type of convention comes up from forces deep down inside of us that are tending to release itself through stress. And since the stress can't be released, then the only way to make it violent is to threaten their survival nature. So behind it all is still someone who controls what you eat and what you grow.
That's the first thing that makes people go bananas, is not having the next meal to eat, besides the bread.
All right. So they know that. They know that you will do anything to have a meal. Every general will tell you this. He can defeat his enemy providing his soldiers are well fed.
That's very true.
So, the point is showing the survival of the individual is linked into the food process.
Couldn't we just go to the mountains and find a cave somewhere?
That's escapism. But we'd
grow food in it,
though. You're
going
to grow food in a cave
and do what? Well, that's why it would be destroyed. If I had a stream in it that was generating plants. Well, if we aren't presently, we don't have to worry about that. You know? What would be wrong with that idea?
Three things. Where are you going to go and find it that they're going to allow you to see? That if you don't buy it, then only yourself. And you're limited to a small area. That's number one. Number two, the cost of getting in there with equipment to get it set up. Number three, boredom. Everybody suffers boredom in some form. There's listen to prophets.
Repeat the question, please.
realistically expect a time of persecution aimed directly at us, because we, I don't know what would trigger it off, but perhaps if there was a large riot or some great commotion that would disorganize a large segment of the society, could we, just because we seem to be able to keep some kind of discipline or react with some sense of purpose, first be clutched at by the population as a whole as a life preserver, and then if what food we have to share with them or something like this runs out or something like that, be turned on, or just persecuted purely for what we believe?
That is a possibility, but I don't think we're going to go in that direction. In the first place, the reason why you are gathering is to build up your spiritual force here in your consciousness, that you will be able to survive minus the basic symbol when everybody has need of it.
We have bread that they know not.
Alright. Chicken suck up a sheep. Yes. We will give what we have, but the initiate, by the methods he will be taught to apply to his body, to teach him to live without the need of his basic food.
Yes.
If he continues using the solar nutritional method, gradually, by the time these conditions arise, our bodies can make the shift over, because the technique which is given to you, how to make the shift over into your body to live off of the radiation within yourself. You see, we can't give you all the techniques right away. Your body is not in that particular electrical wave frequency for you to draw the energy from the medulla. We're talking about the medulla today, and we're talking of the male-female involvement in the household of life. And we're saying that when you waste the sperm energy by aborting in the action, you're actually throwing off a tremendous force of a living entity hanging in the air. Now, that same energy is food. That same energy is life. That same energy is continuity of existence when it is sublimated in your body, and the initiate following the whole soul of life, in any cataclysm or any riot or any major calamity, will be taught to reverse that energy. Now, the key to it is a stable moral life. It is not that sex is not to be used. Within the married life, the freedom is granted, it is accepted by the master that this is for the reason of expression between the male and the female. But at the same time, it carries with certain basic laws that are scientific enough to build upon it without wasting it. You will use it now as another form, not just merely to satisfy your physical release. It can satisfy nourishment to the body for its survival when there is no food. Because that same energy will go up into the brain and come back down, filtered out, and nourish the body. And you don't have to eat. Now, Jesus knew this when he said, "I have meat that you know not of." Now, all the yogis know that. The technique that you're learning is preparation to live on direct
wasting that precious fluid in the body will be shown how the triggers of when these conditions arise in society, when society have no other recourse for survival. The initiate will be shown the technique to trigger that. But his body must be prepared for it, so that when he's given the technique, he will get the experience and he will get the result. Then it will trigger it off when he needs it. Now, if I'm saying it, it sounds like only a diamond can do it. In truth, you can ask Margaret anytime. She will tell you there's nothing like it in the world. The food don't taste like it because, well, once you taste it in your mouth, you don't need food, you don't want to eat. Your body is nourished automatically. But there's something you don't go and waste either. Because it's the same power that went out to make a human being, it's the same power that's now going to sustain a human being. If it can create a human being and cause a human being to come into existence, you realize what it will do to sustain a human being as it needs to.
So we can have our own internal atomic explosion
in physics. Alright, now you understand what the initiate life is leading to.
But it takes you to the land of milk and honey, right?
Right. It does exist. The land of milk and honey exists in the human brain.
It's the
pineal gland secretes a viscous substance exactly the color and texture and taste of honey. The pineal gland, that's the pineal gland does that. The pituitary and the medulla, they both secrete a white substance with taste and texture like milk. When they are drawn inward by a certain form of respiratory exercise, they lock in and become nectar, and it drips down. One drop for 24 hours is all
it needs. But there's no way to teach this to someone after it happens, for the ones that don't know now.
The initiate will be taught when the body is prepared for it. That's why you're going through this, the process of solar nutrition. So build your body to that point that when you trigger it, it will start working. You have to build the body for it. The body cannot just trigger itself off like that. The first time it was taught to me, I was told to do it for 28 days. At the end of 28 days, it remained permanently in the body. Anytime I can trigger it off. But for the 28 days, I had to do it consistently at a certain time. And the person who taught it to me told me I would visit you at that time. Well, I knew he couldn't visit me because I was living in the desert and he was living in Los Angeles. At 4 o'clock sharp, he was in the room. How he got in the room, only he knows. And how he got out of the room, only he knows. But he's a living man. And he was not an Indian. He was an American. And he's mentioned in the autobiography of a yogi.
But children and things like this.
Your children will be taught.
Well, it's not mine, other children too.
If you have a karmic bond with them that are going to be brought into the sphere of existence, they will be helped. If they don't have a karmic bond, don't feel any remorse that you can't do anything. The Lord in His own mercy knows what He's doing. He will not bring that individual unless there's a karmic bond with you, and He will not take away the individual unless there's a karmic bond with you. So remorse and gladdening of their heart is totally the Lord's will, based upon karmic bond. So you as an individual should always have the right attitude, because it's the right place and the right time for you, Kathy. You see? In the midst of a cataclysm, you're the right place at the right time. Now, some people are living in Pennsylvania. They're moving to Baltimore. Someone was read the letter tonight?
Yes.
And they read it wrong?
I did.
Alright, can you remember the gist of the letter?
I Johnny, something else?
No. But what you're saying, in essence, is an initiate has nothing to fear. If you read your autobiography of a yogi, it tells you there you have a built-in atomic shelter in the Holy Grail. go back to where was it that Margaret said?
Oh,
the road got back at it. She said, remember, Daryl, the night we drove through here and we got stuck with the car. And I said, don't shake. And that's the very first remark. And when I said, don't shake, forget it. What happened to the first time? Like I said,
the jackknife.
But it didn't stop. But she said, thanks, Master, right? Then she kept on going.
Right.
But
Master's helping,
helping. Yeah, but the point is, the second time she's now worrying about it.
Right.
Worrying about causes and switching almost. You see what a thought pattern does. The memory and the relationship of confrontation. For the second time, we did have to. But we did not turn over. We lost. Up to the point where we actually stuck. And we could have turned over. But there again, the force field is holding us. We came out of what did we do? Alright. This is what we're trying to show, that the initiate under these moments of stress is still protected.
I realize that. That, you know, a lot of us, I especially have the faith in knowing the way around. And like one time, as soon as about a month after I left Ranchers, I was driving from a ranch to Tallahassee, and they repaved the road for real slick pavement. And I was going around the curve. And I normally drive 75 or 80, and I was going that fast and left through. And the car just went off, spinning off into the side down a hill into a swamp at 70 miles an hour. And I just sat up there smiling, watching it all take place. I was sure that I wasn't going to get hurt. That's all that happened. I just slid midstream by this hair breadth. And the guy came by in a tractor right after that, and I got him pulling right out.
Okay. Now you see what I'm talking about. I'm hit. All the conditions around us. We are born in a certain area to fulfill our work or certain karmic debts with certain individuals. And even if the cataclysms are falling on our heads by the thousands every minute, if it's not for you to go that way, you will be protected by the metal. You understand that? It has to do with the karmic condition.
But is this protection also for people who are not initiated?
Yes, because their karma is involved in it. Because they're getting what they saw, you know.
Well, I'm not an initiate, but I know that I've been protected.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, there was a plane that blew up over Peru, and the girl fell 40,000 feet, and she walked through the jungle, and she got to the thing there, and she had some scratches for a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
she just had a few more time to come yet. So, all that one girl.
Yeah, everybody else got killed 40,000 feet in the air. The plane blew up.
The broken
boat. You know how high 40,000
feet is? They
can't
go
out at that
height.
8 miles.
8 miles.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Floated down the river and everything.
16-year-old.
Now,
when she landed down into that area, you know, the first thing the people saw her, they asked for her name. She said Mary Poppins. No, she just had to say dude working overtime.
She's probably saying, hey, Judy.
situation than would be, because everybody would be calling him what? I'm calling him all of them. Even them that didn't born yet. Because I know if I die, I'm going to meet the one that didn't born yet. So I'm going to keep calling him this because I want to be a good, his good gracious.
See, why?
If you worked, you wouldn't be here in this room.
Not. Yeah.
If you were not initiated at one time in a previous life, you would not be coming to it now or hearing about it. You have to be because you were brought to it by this particular frequency. Yes, because you have passed through that route already. You are a good one. Faithful Hindu. And you did your devotion to the Gandhi many a time. So it seems to have...
America.
Well, the angels are new their initiations too, you know, they have their special initiatory rights. And their bound. Well, 5 o'clock comes very soon for those who come to meditation in the morning.